Amen. Please be seated. It's good to be with you once again, worshiping our risen Christ together. Your brothers and sisters at Ringo's greet you, and we'll continue to pray for a full recovery of Pastor Pilato. This morning, we will take a good look at something very simple but profound: grace. Some Christians think that we are saved or converted by grace alone, whereas we do good works plus grace to remain Christian, to remain in the Lord. Another way to put it is that we get in the kingdom of God by grace, but we stay in by our works and service. But here, in the passage that we'll read shortly, Jesus tells us that the whole of the Christian life is one of grace, from the beginning to the end. So now, let's turn to our passage this morning, coming from Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. So now hear the reading of God's holy and infallible word. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Laborers, and give them the wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. It is not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things. Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen." This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray for his blessing. Lord Christ, may your spirit enlighten our minds and enliven our hearts so that we rejoice in your bountiful grace that is working in us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. This parable of Jesus is sandwiched between Jesus saying that the first will be last and the last will be first at the end of chapter 19 and also at the end of our text. So framed by this saying, the parable teaches that life in the kingdom of God is diametrically opposed to worldly expectations and self-righteousness. So those who seek to justify themselves, those who seek to earn God's favor, those who seek world accolades, they will be very upset, for they will be turned from first to the last. But those who are humble and who depend on God's grace will be very glad, because they will be lifted up from the last and they will become first in the kingdom of God. And this is simple gospel truth, that all we have is by grace. And Jesus uses this parable to impress the idea of grace deep into our hearts. So let us go over this parable and see the priority and importance of grace. The parable is divided into two parts. Verses 1 to 7 is a setup, and verses 8 to 15 is the payoff. So let's look at first the setup of Jesus' teaching in this parable. We meet the landowner in verse 1. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like a man who is the master of the house. The original language pauses here before introducing his further action, which is to hire workers to work in his vineyard. This pause tells us that the focus of the parable is on the landowner, this good man, whose goal is to hire workers to tend to his bountiful vineyard. And we can imagine that the landowner has his own permanent servants and workers. But now, the harvest is coming, so that he has to look for additional temporary hires to reap a great harvest of sweet grapes, succulent fruits, and fresh produce. So, the landowner, he goes out looking for day labor. At the time of Jesus, day laborers, they often gather at the local marketplace and wait to be hired. They belong to the lower rung of the society. They don't have much, and if they don't find work for that particular day, there'll be no food for them and their families. So the landowner talks to a few men first thing in the morning, around 6 a.m. He chooses to hire them and agrees with them that they will be paid a denarius for a day's work. A denarius is equal to a day's wage. And the language tells us that the landowner and these 6 a.m. workers, they mutually agree to this wage. And it's a fair wage according to the social norm. And also according to the custom, it's not necessary for the landowner to agree with the workers with a fair wage first. In fact, many landowners or masters are known to underpay the workers at the end of the day because they care more about their bottom line. And by the time comes when the workers receive their wages, they really have no choice but to receive what the owners pay them. But this landowner is different. He follows God's law in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 14 to 15, when God spoke through Moses with these words, saying, "You shall not oppress a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your brothers or one of the sojourners who are in your land within your towns. You shall give him his wages on the same day before the sun sets, for he is poor and counts on it, lest he cry against you to the Lord and you be guilty of sin." So we here see in the parable the landowner is fair and he's just. Knowing that in this story he represents God, so we learn first thing in verses 1 to 2, God is fair and he is just. And then the parable goes on at the third hour, which is 9 a.m., the landowner goes out again to the market. He sees more men standing idle. He doesn't mean that they are lazy. The word idle simply means that they are without work, which is what the original language says. They have no work because nobody has hired them. So the landowner calls them to work in his vineyard and agrees to pay them a fair wage or whatever is right. And he does the same thing at 12 p.m., at noontime, and also at 3 p.m. So here in verses 3 to 5, we see the generosity and the goodness of the landowner, who is God. God is generous and he is good because he hires many workers. While verse 1 tells us that he goes out looking to hire laborers, verse 3 only says that he goes out and sees some man without work. There's no mention that the landowner even needs more workers to work in his vineyard. If he cares only about his bottom line, he could have worked the minimum number, he could have hired the minimum number of workers while squeezing the most out of their bodies. But this landowner, he wants to spread the work so that early and later hires, they all have lighter work to do. He undercuts his own profit to make sure that these later hires, they get to work, they get to feed their family, they get to close out the day with joy, with dignity. And he pledges to pay everyone justly. Now, do we sometimes get jealous at God because he's favorable and gracious to some people we deem competition, or we think that they're not as good as me? Why doesn't God show me more grace and mercy? Why doesn't God, who bless me, but rather than them, these undesirable people? Have you sometimes feel slighted when God show grace and pour out his blessing to newcomers of the church? So let's pause here and remember that God is fair, God is just, and God is also generous, and God is good. But there's more. Verses 6 to 7, we see that it is 5 p.m., just 1 hour before quitting time. The landowner once again goes out to the marketplace. He finds still some men who are idle. They answer and say, nobody has hired them. You can almost sense in this parable the sense of desperation. These men have been standing at the marketplace for a whole day. They have been overlooked and they have been rejected. They must have a strong sense of despair and perhaps even shame because they are not wanted, even for the lowliest job. Aside from going home empty-handed, hungry, they are about to upset their family because they're not able to provide for them. But now, this landowner takes notice of these men. It is unlikely that this just and good landowner desperately needed last-minute laborers to finish his job. Early morning, he has hired all the men he needs for the job. Going out another time shows his goodness and generosity. But now, going out at the last hour shows his deep compassion for the poor and the needy, the rejected, the outcast, and the desperate. This good landowner wants these men to work in his vineyard in order that they receive a wage to bring home, that they receive a blessing. Imagine how happy they are when they're hired at this last hour. So we thus see the compassion and the deep mercy of our God. He loves what we would deem, or what the world would say, the unlovable, the poor, the low, the needy. Imagine the deep sorrow of these 5 p.m. workers turns into joy and satisfaction, not in themselves, but in the goodness and the mercy of the landowner, or what he can provide for them and their family, so that their hearts are gladdened, their stomachs are filled, and even they find dignity and blessing in their lives. So let's see what we have learned so far. God is fair and righteous in his dealing with man. God is good and generous by giving man over and above what he or she deserves. And God is compassionate and merciful in giving real hope and blessing to the destitute. So we can sum up all this in one word: grace. All workers are called because the master is gracious toward them. Without this grace from the master, all these men remain jobless, penniless, and hopeless. But they are called and hired by the master to work in his vineyard, using his tools, taking breaks under his shelter, and possibly eating their lunch provided by him. What a great picture of God's grace in calling people who are poor, lowly, outcast, unlovable, and unwanted, and transforming them to useful servants for God in a plentiful harvest. And now we turn to the payoff of the parable in verses 8 to 15. The payoff begins with the payout. In verse 8, Jesus tells us that the landowner pays all the workers at the end of the day, according to the law of Moses that we read briefly. He begins with the last hire before proceeding to the first. Perhaps this is like handing out medals at the Olympics, the bronze followed by the silver and then the gold. But surprisingly, for the 5 p.m. workers, guess what? They receive more than a bronze medal. They receive a gold. They receive a day's wage for only 1 hour of work. Now, try to put yourself in their sandals. It's almost at the end of the day. You are on the verge of giving up hope for work. You are not sure how you can go home and lift up your head to see your family, to face them, because you are not bringing home anything. But then, this good man hires you at the last hour. You happily go to his vineyard and work until dawn. You expect him to pay you 1/12 of a day's wage. But guess what? He gives you a full day's of pay. A denarius, which is 1,100% bonus, according to my math. What a gracious gift. How unexpected it is. What joy now fills your heart. Now, at the end of the line, the early 6 a.m., early morning workers, they are surprised too. They're licking the chops. They're thinking, whoa, we hit a jackpot. Here comes our big payday of 12 denarius. Denarii, I guess, in plural. Now, the steward calls them up. He hands them out 1 denarius and no more. Now, these workers, they are furious. It's not fair, they cry. These guys over there, they work only an hour, but we work hard the whole day, 12 hours at all, and all. Don't we deserve 12 times of what they get? Now, notice in the text here, Jesus said that they complained, but the word actually is the same as that they grumbled at the landowner. In verse 11, it's likely that Jesus alludes to Israel's grumbling against Moses and against God in the wilderness. They complained and grumbled that they only had this manna to eat. No meat, no melons, no leeks, no garlics that they got in Egypt. Oh, what good time we had eating all those food. They forget to grumble about their slavery too. And living in this dry heat and sand, oh, the horror, the uncomfortable lifestyle. They forget the key, the important thing. That is how God delivered them from a hopeless Egyptian bondage. They forgot that God sustained them on a day-by-day, moment-to-moment basis in the wilderness, that their sandals do not wear out. They do not lack anything. And God promised them even better place, a land full of milk and honey, if they would simply walk with God as God guides them to the promised land. We see the same kind of grumbling of these early workers in this parable, in verse 12. They complain that they should not be treated equal to these late hires because we are better, we work harder. It is as if they forget that they agree with the owner on the fair pay for the first thing. And of course, they conveniently ignore the fact that those 9 a.m. and 12 and noontime hires, they also work under the hot sun. So we see these early hires make themselves superior to the late hires. And the questions the fairness, the integrity, and the goodness of the landowner, their master. Now, I have known Christians who sympathize, whether outwardly or I'm sure inwardly, with these early hires. Indeed, it's not fair. They should be paid more. After all, they indeed work longer, and they deserve more according to our socioeconomic system, right? They all think that the fair thing is that these early workers get 12 denarii. Now, sadly, this is simply the flesh, the sinful flesh speaking regarding the stubborn and unremitting sin that's still working in our hearts. Along with the flip side, our own self-righteousness just coming out to the fore, thinking that we know even better than God what to do. We often, like the Israelite and the elder brother of the parable of the prodigal son, full of self-righteousness, causing us to despise God's grace. We think, just like the world thinks, by undercutting the priority and the all-encompassing grace of God. But here, in this parable, Jesus put this self-righteousness, this work righteousness, and this judgmental spirit to rest, especially in verses 13 to 15. Here, the landowner replies to the early workers that he does them no injustice. And he asks them three rhetorical questions, each showing his true character towards all the workers. First, the landowner, he asks, "Did you not agree with me for denarius?" Well, of course, the early workers, they do. This is to show that God is fair and just. Secondly, he asks, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things?" Of course, he has the absolute right to hire whoever to work in his vineyard, using his tool for his harvest. And this is to show God's sovereignty, that for him, through him, and to him are all things. Imagine if the landowner did not choose the early workers. They would be in the same situation as the late hires, because the landowner is the sovereign Lord who is gracious. And even if the workers do their job, they're only unprofitable servants doing what they are told and what they have been provided with, meaning that they have not earned anything above and beyond what the master provides them by his sheer grace. Thirdly, the landowner asks, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" Now, this is a very literal translation of the original Greek. In the ancient Near East, having evil eye is an expression that one is envious and covetous. Jesus says in chapter 6, verse 23, "If your eye is bad, if you have evil eye, your whole body will be full of darkness." So, a bad or evil eye tells us the darkness of a covetous heart. These early workers are on the verge of being consumed by this sinful darkness of their own souls. In other translations, such as the ESV, it translates to, as the landowner says, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" Now, of course, these early workers, they do. Having established himself as fair, just, sovereign, and gracious, the landowner turns this complaint upside down by aiming it directly at the hearts of these grumbling workers. "Do you complain and grumble because you are envious? Are you jealous that I give to the poor, the needy, the rejected, and the outcast? Do you not know that indeed I am giving them what is equal to you? And now you're complaining because you are greedy and you are self-righteous. It is you, the early workers, that are wrong, not me, the good landowner." And once again, we see here, God is gracious. The landowner dismisses these early workers with a mild rebuke, but with fair wages. He calls them friend in verse 13. The word friend doesn't really connote friendliness. It probably means something like, hey, look, man, I'm not doing you anything wrong and unjust. This surely puts the early workers in the wrong. And the lesson of this parable is that the kingdom of God is one of grace. Works righteousness and a judgmental, self-righteous spirit has no place in it. It is the spirit of the age, spirit of the world, the spirit of Satan. But in God's kingdom, it begins with grace. It continues with grace, and grace will never end. And when this marvelous grace of God is eclipsed, even by a little bit of self-righteousness here or a dash of work righteousness there, just a smidgen of judgmental spirit there, is no longer grace. But our gracious Savior only, as we see here, mildly rebuked such unbelieving and self-righteous spirits and hearts. Our Lord wants us to see clearly and fully His unbounding grace for sinners. Yes, we must repent from our sins. But let's take a good look at God and Christ in this parable to see the magnificent grace, the marvelous goodness and mercy of our great God in Christ. And let our heart find our home there. Let not our heart find a home in the world, in a judgmental spirit, or even dwelling in our sin. Let our heart fix upon the grace of Christ. For only God's grace in Christ can change and to fill us with grace upon grace, and with gladness, with joy and dignity in all our lives. So let us close by stretching this parable just by a little bit. Imagine some time ago, the landowner planted the vineyard, and he hired workers. But these wicked workers disobeyed their master and destroyed the vineyard because they were fighting to get a better cut of the harvest to come, and they ignored the work commissioned by the master. The master, in his anger, cast out these evil workers. But the master, he has commissioned his son, who willingly humbled himself. He took on the status and work of a lowly servant, working in his father's vineyard, even as a hired hand, in order to restore and to perfect the vineyard. Now that the vineyard is ready for a bountiful harvest, the master calls the wicked workers back to work with his son. And now they receive a wage that they do not deserve. And they enjoy the fruit of the land that they did not plan or care for. All because what is earned by the perfect son is now shared by undeserving servants. Such is the bountiful grace of our Lord Jesus. By grace, he has opened the kingdom of God to those whom God calls. By grace, he gives eternal life to those who trust him, so that we may live in his righteous and holy kingdom. And by grace, he has made and equipped us as his servants. May we know and may we grow in this grace, putting Christ first and ourselves last, depending on him in all things, and serve him joyfully and with humility, counting others better than us, so that we may all share a great harvest to come. And may we be active and passionate servants of God, filled and empowered by the grace of our Lord Jesus all days of our lives. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ our Lord, who through his death and resurrection has brought us into your presence, into your kingdom. We pray that we have a good grasp of your grace that calls, that fills, and that sustains us. And we pray that by your mighty Holy Spirit, we will live, we will love and serve you all days in our lives, with joy and with humility. In Christ's name we pray, amen.